Now, prominent dissidents jailed in Vietnam has been on hunger strike for 2 weeks. Lawyer Nguyễn Hà Vũ is protesting at what he claims has been his mistreatment at the hands of prison authorities in northern Than Ho province. His wife, Nguyễn Trinh Giang Ha, says she's very concerned for her husband's health.
I'm certain that he's still on hunger strike because he's determined to seek answers to his many appeals, as well as to his requests that are protected by law. For instance, the right to spend time in privacy with his wife, the right to send letters to his family, the right to receive gifts that are not prohibited goods from his family, the right to receive copies of documents used by the government to frame a case against him so that he can prepare his appeal to the judges. I think what he's asking for is very legitimate. I'm certain that none of those requests have been met.
Now, Nguyễn Hà Vũ was arrested in 2010 after filing a lawsuit against the Prime Minister over environmental issues, and his law firm also represented Catholics from Con Dao Parish in Da Nang who were detained during a police crackdown. Mr. Hà Vũ was eventually sentenced to 7 years in prison and a further 3 years under house arrest for violating an article of Vietnam's legal code that forbids the spreading of propaganda against the state. Rupert Abbott is Amnesty International's researcher on Cambodia, Laos and Vietnam.
Nguyễn Hà Vũ was convicted back in April 2011, and he was convicted for conducting propaganda against the state, which is one of the provisions in Vietnam's penal code, which is used to basically criminalize peaceful freedom of expression. He had posted online articles calling for a multi-party system, democracy in Vietnam. He'd actually also previously tried to sue the Prime Minister over a couple of matters, but the case related to these online postings. And he was found guilty, and he was given a seven-year prison sentence with 3 years under house arrest. And he's well known. He's a lawyer, human rights defender, and environment activist, but he's particularly well known because his father was close to Ho Chi Minh and really a famous revolutionary. So this was seen as someone whose roots at least were very close to the Communist Party.
And indeed, why now has he felt the need to go on a hunger strike?
Well, we've received information that he feels he's been mistreated by those who in the prison are responsible for him. There are a few issues that have come up. He hasn't been given access to the evidence from his trial in order to mount an appeal, the transcript from the trial, what was said. He hasn't been given the food and other provisions that family have tried to get to him. Normally in prisons in Vietnam, in order to really survive, you rely on provisions from family members and friends, because what's provided in the prison in terms of food and medicine, for example, is rarely enough. So you rely on that. And he hasn't been given all that's been brought to him by his family. He's also been unwell, I think, hasn't received the medical care he requires. Reports that he's got problems with water retention, low blood pressure. And so there are a number of complaints, and he feels that, he's complained about them and they haven't been dealt with. He sees this, I can assume, as sort of his only alternative. And it shows, really, doesn't it, that someone is feeling very hopeless if they feel they have to resort to a hunger strike to try to resolve their situation and raise awareness about what's happening to them.
And indeed, he's only one of a number of high-profile activists who've been in the news recently and say they've been imprisoned for exercising their right to freedom of expression. Are you seeing an escalation in the crackdown on dissent in Vietnam?
Yes, Amnesty International is. We are seeing that. And you're quite right. He is one example of many who've been in prison for peacefully exercising their right to freedom of expression. We consider him to be what we call a prisoner of conscience, and there are many others. And we have really seen this crackdown intensify, really, over the last couple of years. It's hard to verify, actually, exactly how many of these peaceful activists are in prison. I mean, certainly it's in the tens, but other groups would say it's well over 100. I think, you know, it's often a similar story, you know, individuals promoting human rights, trying to have a say in how their country is being run, and you know, in response, the government hits them with charges under the penal code, which criminalise freedom of expression, such as propaganda against the state, and they find themselves being convicted and serving long prison terms. I mean, last year at least 25 activists were in prison, just last year alone, and probably more. But that's a number we can verify, and. You know, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. You know, there are many, many of these individuals that we call prisoners of conscience, Farben Nguyen Van Lee, bloggers, that this was a very well-known case last year, the bloggers Chua Kai, Tha Phong Tan and Ambar Saigon, again, in prison now for conducting propaganda against the state. What they actually were doing was calling for respect for human rights online. Environment activist Din Dang Din, entrepreneur, Tran Huyen Duy Tuk, a lawyer, Lee Kwok Kwan, so many of these individuals in prison, either pre-trial detention or convicted and serving long sentences, simply for speaking out peacefully, not advocating violence, not using violence.
And finally, Rupert Abbott, we have heard some noises out of Washington. The Assistant Secretary of State, Jo Yun, recently warned that Vietnam's record on human rights is deteriorating. But overall, do you think that both Washington and the international community is doing enough to increase the pressure on Vietnam's government?
We would say no. I think there needs to be a much firmer stance, more consistently, more being said. I mean, we welcome comments by the US in that regard. But, you know, we call on the US, the EU, Australia, other countries in ASEAN to really speak out about what's going on. And also, I think we have to recognize there's an opportunity to push for a better respect for human rights in Vietnam at the moment. There are a number of factors coming together. One is that Myanmar is beginning to reform, perhaps, you know, putting Vietnam at risk of becoming the pariah state of Southeast Asia. We can see there's this dispute with China, a territorial dispute over islands, and, you know, Vietnam is looking for Western support, particularly from the U.S., I would say, to balance China in that regard. Vietnam's economy, it had been doing very well until fairly recently, and now it's really faltering. Big concerns about what's going to happen with the economy. It's not doing well at all. And therefore, again, a need to reach out to the West to try and attract investment, attract trade. And then another really key thing that's happening, and which is one of the reasons that explains this crackdown, is that Vietnamese people are beginning to speak out more and claim their rights. The internet's been very useful in this regard. But also we've seen people speaking out for human rights at anti-China protests over these territorial disputes, but using those protests to speak about other matters too. Just recently, just a few weeks ago, young Vietnamese held human rights picnics, handing out copies of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights to passers-by and sharing with each other. There was a crackdown against those two, and we spoke out about that. But certainly there is a trend where we can see people speaking out. So all of these issues, all of these factors coming together, I think creates an opportunity for America, for the EU, for Australia to really put pressure on Vietnam, use that leverage to push for change and better respect for human rights.